Welcome to this time of refreshing. This is a radio message that was preached from the platform of Kingdom Word Ministries by Pastor Banky.
I will continue our discussion on how to work for God, which we have been on for a while. It's a continuation of what we were discussing before concerning the purpose of your life. And we now said along the line that there is a procedure for working for God. We don't work for God just the way we like it. We must learn His methods. There are established procedures for everything. He said there is a procedure for every purpose under the heavens. Last time I began to speak about how it is that we give to God, which is a very common thing in today's Christianity. I outlined a number of ways by which one can give to God. I talked about giving to those who are in need, talked about the widows of your household. I talked about giving for the purpose of the spread of the gospel. I haven't talked about giving to yourself also. My intention is to begin to expound each one of those ways one by one. And like I mentioned then, you can find them listed in my book, How to Work for God. Now, my intention is to go on, I explain them one by one. But because of an important thing that I omitted to explain then, I think I should go back and explain that one first before we now return to the matter of how to give to God. Because it's very important that we understand, like I said at the beginning of that series, that motivation matters with God. And as I was thinking about it, I realized that before we start talking about how to give to God, I think we should first examine the question, why do we give to God? Very important. Because you see, the motivation behind something matters with God more than the act itself. The reason why you are doing something is what counts in heaven. I'm going to explain that again today. When it comes to the matter of handling money, why are you doing it? That's why the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. Paul was speaking in 2 Corinthians. All right? Now, that is that it's not just giving that's the issue, but the cheerfulness of the heart is important with God. I want to remove some of the opinions that people have in their minds concerning why they give to God, first of all, by explaining this principle. How do we receive from God? I think that's even a better thing to say first. If you read my book, So Who We Pay For This, I took a whole chapter to explain that principle. How do we receive from God? Because you see, when people don't realize it, they end up making a grave mistake in giving to God so as to receive from Him. Unfortunately, that is not the way by which you receive from God. A brother told me once, and I told a story in the book, How to Work for God. He said to me that he doesn't ask God for anything. And I was kind of surprised that how can you not ask God for anything? In today's Nigeria, with all the dangers around, how can you not ask God for anything? With all the needs in the society, how can you not ask God for anything? So I was curious. I said, well, why is it that you never ask God for anything? And he said to me, because I don't know what I have done for Him so that He will do something for me back. And I laughed. I had a very good laugh. But actually, it's not funny. It's not funny because that is a common thing in today's Christianity. There are statements like these I have heard, and I want to say to you today that they are not correct. One of them is this: nothing leaves God's hands until something leaves your hand. That statement is not correct. People say you can never pray for supplies except you have seed in the ground. That statement is not correct. Now, these are very popular statements in today's Christianity. When we go to church, a lot of times we sit down and somebody stands up and spends 30 minutes, 1 hour explaining to us why today is the day of our breakthrough, because it is the day that God has given us the opportunity to give. And once we give, we are going to get in abundance. That statement is not correct. We don't get from God because we give to Him. Now, see, we have to set this thing straight. I said to us before, we don't work for God the way we like it. We work for God the way He prescribed. People say you must give to God before God gives back to you. And I say to you, it is not true. The reason why we give to God is not because we want Him to give back to us. The reason why we give to God is far removed from that. If you come to God asking because you have already given to Him, you are coming in the power of your good works. And we must understand something, that God never recognizes that. He said, your good works are like filthy rags in my sight. Just to make this clear, let's quickly read from this story, which you all know, the book of Luke chapter 18. Now, here is a story about two people who went to pray in the temple, and the Lord Jesus was talking about it. If you read from verse 9, he said, and he also told this parable to certain ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Please notice that. And viewed others with contempt. Now, this is a story from verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax gatherer or a tax collector, if you have a King James. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself. God, I thank thee that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, and even like these tax gatherer. These are the good works that I do. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. It sounds like a Christian today, don't you think so? But the tax gatherer, verse 13, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, Jesus was saying in verse 14, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other one. When the Bible uses the word justified, that describes God's opinion concerning the person's righteousness. So what it was saying, that this is the person that was righteous in the eyes of God. He said, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Now listen to me. Anybody who approaches God and makes requests upon the power of what he or she has done is justifying himself or herself, and the person will not be justified. The Bible says the person will be humbled. What it means to be humbled is to be brought lower than the position that you were before. Now, the other person who humbles himself, the Bible says he will be exalted. That is, whatever position you were in before, God will lift you up beyond that position to a new level. So if somebody was in lack, listen to this. If somebody was in lack and he approached God and says to God, you know, I've always been paying my tithes regularly. You know, I always give offerings. The Bible says that person will live without receiving anything from God, and the little he had before will be taken from him because he has to be humbled. Are you getting my point? Listen to me, Christians. We never, ever plead the power of our good works before God because we have done them when we need something. We are not allowed to. In fact, he said it clearly, that the way it is with Christians is that anything you do is just your duty. It does not give you any special bargaining power with God. I'm talking about how to give to God. So I'm just giving an introduction on the motivation behind it. Listen to me. One motivation that is not the reason why we give to God is so that we can get back from him. Are you getting my point? He said, who has given to him that he might demand back? We don't come to God because we want to get from him, therefore we give to him. People say all the time, it's very common in Christianity today, when they want to give an offering, they say, give your offering a name. Say to God what you want this offering to bring for you. Hear me today, that is not Christianity. That is sorcery. Are you getting my point? Christians receive from God based on a premise far removed from the works that they have done. The Lord Jesus says something. In fact, these are the reasons. This is the way Christians receive from God. I think we should just read that. You see the words of the Lord Jesus in the book of John chapter 16. But let me just say, why does the Father give to us? It's a very good way to title this. I'm going to read about three portions of the scriptures so as to explain the reason. Why does God give to us? Is it because we have given to him? The answer is no. He said, who has given to him that he might demand back? Now, that's in the book of Job chapter 41. Verse 11, nobody gives to God and then says because he has given to God, God should give back to him. That is not correct. That is not Christianity. So I will say, why does God give to us? I'm going to give three reasons why God gives to us, and none of them, all right, that is in answer to our prayers now, and none of them is because of what we think we have done to deserve it. Listen, grace means I don't deserve it. Grace means it is what God has promised. Are you getting my point? Which I have activated by faith. That's what grace means. And the life of the Christian is a life of grace. Number one reason why God gives to his children is in the book of John chapter 16. Let's quickly read that. The Lord Jesus was speaking to his disciples and explaining to them the principle of receiving from God. In the book of John chapter 16, what did he say to them? Now, I'll read from verse 26. He said, in that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request the Father on your behalf. He said, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. Notice that this is the reason why God gives to you, number one. It is because he loves you. Are you getting my point? And why does he love you? Not because of your good works, but because you have believed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice something he said in that verse 26. He said, in that day you will ask in my name. Let me explain that again. What it means to ask in the name of Jesus. Listen, to ask in the name of Jesus means you are asking not based upon your own good works, but because of what Jesus did on the cross. There's a book I read, one man of God wrote it many years ago, and it defined grace. This is his own definition of grace. The man said, grace is anything that God does for you because Jesus paid the price. Are you getting my point? That anything that God does based upon the fact that Jesus has paid the price on the cross, that is what is called grace. Anything you come, listen to this, and claim that you deserve because of the work you have done, you are denying the power of grace. It's important because this is how it is. When Paul was speaking in the book of Galatians, he was saying something. If you want to keep part of the law, you have to keep the whole law. Are you getting my point? What it means is this. If you are going to sow a seed, like we like to say today, because you want a car, God is saying to you, fine, there are principles like that, because you see, there's something about the Bible. In the scriptures, you can study a lot of spiritual principles, which are correct, but that some of them are not the life, all right, that a Christian is supposed to live. So if you come to God and say, listen, I want to sow a seed because there's a principle there that a man can sow and then he will reap. God says, fine, no problem. So you're going to sow a seed for your car? And you say, yes. God says, you're going to sow a seed for your wife? Yes. He said, therefore, I want you to every day sow a seed for your breath. You must sow a seed for your heartbeat. You must sow a seed for your brain that is working. Now, any seed you don't sow correctly, I will remove that thing from you. So the day the seed for your heartbeat is not correct, you are dead that day. You don't want to live like that. And God does not want you to live like that. That's why he brings something superior to the power of your own good works. And it's called the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And that man said, what is the definition of grace? Grace is everything that God does for you because Jesus paid the price. So, do I need a seed for my car? No, I don't. Jesus already paid the price. Do I need a seed for my wife? No, I don't. Jesus already paid the price. Do I need a seed so that I can breathe freely? No, I don't. Jesus already paid the price. You are getting the point I'm going to make. Now, you either accept that or you reject it. And I say to you today boldly that many Christians, they have rejected the price that Jesus paid. And Jesus said something. Listen, this is the way you are going to get things from the Father. You must come in my name. What do we do? We want to come in the power of our good works. I was somewhere once, a man was preaching. He said, I know God is going to bless me. He said, because when I want to pray, I tell God, listen, that church building that's going on down there, my money is there. This particular church building, my money is there. He mentioned the number of places that his money is in. Therefore, God will bless him. The day I heard it, I shook my head. I felt very sorry for him because he would not endure. You can't endure like that. If you are doing good works and counting them for God, you can never endure like that. Listen to me. It doesn't even work. The fact is that most people are preaching it to you. They want to collect that offering for you that day. That's a matter of fact. I'll say something about the power of good works because it's important that people don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I am not saying we don't do good works. We do. Christians must do good works. It is part of the life of a believer. Doing good works is part of our life. I'm just explaining that we are not doing them because of what we are going to get. Are you getting my point? It is not right that the reason why we give to God is because we want to get from him. It is not right. It is not Christianity. God gives to us, number one reason I said why he gives to us is because what? He loves us. And why does he love us? It's simple. Jesus said it is because we have loved him. The indication of that love is that we believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in the Son who he sent. Now, number two reason why God gives to us in response to our prayers is in the book of James chapter 1. Let's quickly read that. James chapter 1. It said from verse 5, but if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Please notice that. Let him ask and it will be given. The Bible says, Jesus was speaking in Matthew chapter 7, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened. Number one way, once I was in school, I preached this message many years ago. I said, what is the secret of receiving? Somebody put up his hand and said, giving. I said, that is not in the Bible. What the Bible teaches as a secret of receiving is what? Asking. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. It didn't say give so that you can receive, that your joy may be full. Listen, just be following me closely because I need to clarify this. I know I'm raising a lot of questions in the hearts of people. They'll say that did Jesus not say, give and it shall be given unto you? All right? People are going to say that. Did he not talk about seed time and harvest? Did Paul not say, he that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he that sows bountifully shall reap bountifully? I'm going to answer that in a moment, but let me just drop one answer to that before I go on. And that is the fact that in none of that was it tied to prayer. In none of those quotations I just gave you, was it tied to prayer? In none. When it comes to prayer, the reason why God gives to you, The secret of receiving from God is asking. That is the secret. He said, let's go back to reading that James chapter 1. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask, and it will be given to him. Verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith, without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Number two reason why God gives to us in response to our prayers is because we ask in faith. That's number two reason. Number one, because he loves us. What is faith? Faith means that we recognize that he loves us, which is the reason why Jesus had to explain to his disciples that the Lord is going to give to you if you ask him because he loves you. So when you have that confidence in your heart, you approach him, not because you have, that's my emphasis, not because you have done anything as works to deserve it, but because you know he loves you. That brother who I said he never asked anything from God because he didn't know what he had done, that God should give anything to him. I told him simply, this was the way I answered him. I said, you know me. You know my children. He said, yes. I said, what do they do for me that makes me give to them? Nothing. All they just need to do is just be there, happy, smiling. And I'm leaving the house, somebody will say, when you are coming back, bring me ice cream. When you are coming back, do this. When you are coming back, buy this for me. Why do I give to them? Is it because they gave me anything? No. It's simply because they are my children. If I, one of the blessings that God gave me in having children, it's not because I have children to count. No, really. It's good. I am happy I have children. I have a quiver full of them. The Lord is good. But the point I'm making is this. That's not just what's making me happy. One of the things that made me happy about children, having them, was that it helped me understand the love of God. Because, you know, the other day, a child of mine injured himself in the house. He was running. He wasn't looking. You know the way children may be, the smallest one. He bent his head down and was running and ran through the door. So, of course, his head hit the metal part of the frame. And the thing just gave his head a gash. I just heard a shout. So I ran down there. I saw his head had peeled. The skin had peeled over to one side. I saw the white part because the bleeding was just about to start when I reached there. Instantly, as an old man, I broke down and started crying. I wish it was my head that hit the wall. Are you getting my point? I didn't. You know what I said? I said, Lord, this. If I was later, I realized what happened. I said, Lord, have mercy on me. I wasn't even saying have mercy on him. The pain was paining me. It wasn't paining him as much as it was paining me. That's why of course, he's a little boy. Are you going to beat him now for running almost blindfolded? But that was a good lesson for him that day. I said, next time you want to run, don't run without looking at where you are going. This is what I'm trying to make. Listen, the compassion I have for the little boy, I look at things like that because the same boy was now ill shortly after maybe all of this is put together. And he laid down and I realized that if I could take the sickness and put it on my body, you understand? I would have done it. That helps me understand why Jesus came and took my sickness, put it on his body and went to the cross with it. You get what I'm trying to explain? That's one thing. Look, listen, many times I said to the Lord, if you love me half as much as I love these children, then I know I have no problem. Half. That is, if God loves me half as much as I love my children, then I know I have no problem. Now, think about it. He loves me more than I have the capacity to love anybody, including my children. Therefore, should I think I have any problem? Are you following my point? Listen, so Jesus said, this is why the Father gives to you, because he loves you, not because you have done anything for him. So I said to that brother that day, I said, what do my children do for me to give to them? The answer is what? Nothing. I give to them because I love them. Everything I do for them is because I love them. They don't have the ability to give me anything. All the help they try to render, most of the times, maybe apart from the ones that are older now, if they initiate any help, it's to cause me trouble. Are you getting my point? Because they will not understand the proper procedure. You can imagine once I just heard my car starting, and I ran then, who's there? My wife was with me. Who else in this house that can start a car? Only for me to run outside. And I saw a two-year-old turning my key. He had taken the key, gone into the car, inserted it and turned it, and said to me, I want to drive. I don't know if you can imagine. If I want somebody to help me drive, is it you that's going to help me? Children can't help you, yet you help them. And if you're a true father, a true parent, it's not because tomorrow They will take care of me. I don't want them to take care of me. My prayer to God is that I will be strong and fit till I am old. Are you getting my point? And even as an old man, I will be giving my great-grandchildren cars and houses as wedding presents. I'm not looking forward to anybody taking care of me. Are you getting my point? But why do I do things for them? Because I love them. I told that brother that day. You see the point? So you are insulting God by telling him you cannot approach him except you have done something for him. You are saying to him, he does not love you. And that's what Christians say every day. You can't pray until you are given to God. What are you saying by that statement? He does not love me. He only recognizes my good works. Listen to me. The Bible says clearly, your good works are like filthy rags in his sight. He doesn't want them. Listen, the only reason why you can do good works for God is because he has forgiven you and he has blessed you. That's why I interrupted this teaching. You know, last time I began to speak about the ways by which you can give to God. And I told myself, no, that's not proper. I should first explain to people how to get from God. Because you cannot give to him until he has given to you. Are you getting the point? So that's number two reason why God gives to us. Because we're asking faith. And the faith is that we have that confidence that he loves us. So that faith is just a recognition of fact number one. Fact number one, he gives to us because he loves us. Fact number two is that we recognize that love, therefore we ask in faith. And number three reason why God gives to us, let's quickly read it. The book of James also, just go down to chapter 4. You'll see something there in verse 3. Let me just start from verse 2. You lust and you do not have, so you commit murder. And you are envious and cannot obtain. Now, murder there, though it's possible for them to have killed themselves literally, but James does not indicate that they've literally killed themselves. But Jesus said, if you hate your brother, you have committed murder as a Christian in the sight of God. So there was a lot of hatred amongst them. He said, what's the reason? He said, you are envious of each other. And he said, you are envious and cannot obtain. So you fight and you quarrel. You do not have, this is the reason, because you do not ask. Christians say these days, you do not have because you do not give. Giving is good, please. Giving is part of the life of a Christian. The Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive. A Christian should be a giver. We must be like our Father. He said, be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. Be righteous as your heavenly Father is righteous. Be imitators of God as true children. Are you getting my point? So giving is the life of a Christian. I am not trying to say Christians don't give. I am just saying that they are not giving because of what they are going to get. And that is not the foundation of their prosperity, contrary to what a lot of people say. Giving is a life of a believer. You must be a giver. But you don't tie what you are going to get to what you are giving. That's not the reason why you give. The reason why you give, we'll talk about that later. But this is the reason why God gives to you. That's what I'm explaining now. He said he gives to you because, notice this, that James chapter 4. He said, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. What is the motive? So that you may spend on your pleasures. So you can compete. That listen, Lagbaja has bought a brand new Camry. I should buy a brand new Avalon to show that my God is more faithful than his. I pray more than him. So he has married, and now he has two children. God, you must give me triplets just to prove that I'm a more serious evangelist. After all, when pastor says in church, how many people, are you getting my point, have preached to anybody and people have given their lives to Christ in the last 1 week? If you have won 5 souls to God, put up your hand. You put up your hand. That guy never puts up his hand. You have won more souls to God than him. You pray longer than him. When they go out on evangelism, you are there, he's absent. When they say special seed, your own is in front. You saw it the other day when they were collecting it. You gave 100,000 when this guy gave only 10,000. Listen, you will be more blessed than him. And that's what a lot of Christians think about. Listen to me today. It's a fat lie. A very fat lie. You don't know who's going to be more blessed. You cannot judge the works of a man. Because like they say, if you see an adult running in the afternoon, one of two things happening. Either he's pursuing something or something is pursuing him. What am I trying to explain? We don't know what is pursuing people. Your problem may be that competitive spirit. Listen, Malachi said to them, take heed to your spirit. It's funny. You know, we Christians, we like to read Malachi. We pastors, we like to talk about tithes. But Malachi said many things. One of the things he said is, take heed to your spirit. What does that mean? Why are you doing what you are doing? There are many people who are up and down every day doing what they think is good works. And God said it's their conscience that is pushing them. When the man was in school, he was in a cult, and he knows all the bad things they did, so he wants to pay me back. So every soul he wins, I don't count it. Why? He hasn't taken heed to his spirit. He has not accepted forgiveness from my hands. He's trying to impress me. So some people, what happens to them? They're expecting that God will give to them abundantly, more than somebody else. So their prayer is a request from God to show that they are superior to somebody else. James said that is why they don't get anything. So he said, you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend on your pleasures as part of your competition, your envy, all right, and your fighting and your quarrel. What am I saying? What is the third reason why, I'm going to stop with that third one. What's the third reason why God gives to us is because we ask with right motives. Number one, he loves us. Number two, we ask in faith. And number three, while we're asking, we ask with the right motives. See, I had to go through all of this so that when I start talking about how to give to God, you will get the right things. I mean, you have the right thing in your heart. Let me say it again. You cannot deliberately sow a seed towards anything. It's very common today in Christianity. I know I'm one of the few that say the things I'm saying, but it's still the truth. We must know it. People say if you give naira, you will receive naira. It's a fat lie. It's not based on the principles of the scriptures. They say, I've heard people say that I want you to sow today's seed in dollars so that God can repay you in dollars. You must think God is a fool or a joker that cannot see what is going on. God is not a computer. I hope you understand my point. He is alive. He lives. He thinks. Paul said he will supply all your needs according to his riches. Are you getting my point? And he was speaking to people who had worked with him in the pursuit of the preaching of the gospel. He didn't say, because you sent me money, God shall send you money. If you need something, God will supply to you according to your needs, not according to your seed. Christians talk as if God supplies according to the seed. He does not. He supplies according to the need. You must get this incorrectly. Some people there, they are sitting and saying, my God, I've been wasting a lot of time. Yes, that's why God brought you mercy today, to correct you. You have sown seed for years. That's why it did not germinate. Because with God, motives, I said this at the beginning of this series, with God, motive is very important. And that's why I'm itemizing it today again. I'm talking about how to give to God, but you must get it right. It is why you give to God that is first. So first thing I'm trying to explain is, how do you receive from God? And I'm explaining that because most people are so emphatic on giving to God as the way by which they receive from him. And I said, no. The number one reason why God gives to you is because he loves you. How do you receive from God? Let me quickly answer that. It's simple. By asking. Jesus said it. We quoted one just now. He said, in that day you will ask the Father in my name. He said, ask, another one, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. James said, you have not because you ask not. Are you getting my point? He said, ask and you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. That is the secret of receiving from God. He said in the book of Mark chapter 11, therefore I say to you, the Lord Jesus was speaking, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them and they shall be granted you. How do you receive from God? You ask in faith. You ask in faith. The key to receiving from God is asking, and that is asking correctly. So you see, when we have gotten that right, I said something earlier, Paul said it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Are you getting my point? The reason why God sets you free is so that you can serve him. Now, get what I'm going to say. You don't serve him so that you can be free. You cannot give that which God has not given you already. It is God that initiates the process. Like I said, I will explain again the principle of seed. People said that give naira and you will get naira. And I say it's a fat lie. You know the reason why? Let me start that. I'll continue next time. The reason is because any seed you are sowing, it must be sown into the appropriate field. If you give corn, it doesn't mean God will give you corn back. If you want corn to come back to you for releasing corn, you plant it in the earth. Every seed has its appropriate field. If you want money to bring you forth money, you go to the bank, you go to the market, you go and buy and sell, you go and invest. Money produces money when it is put in a financial market. Do you answer my point? Are you saying that we can also and give to God? You can, but that is a spiritual field. And in the spiritual field, what matters or what is recognized is a spiritual seed. So if you give money with the wrong motive, what enters